same dollar drama. Is it really going to be Miami or bust? And a nice look at what's been happening in Summer League and who are the standouts. We're going to tell you guys what we think right here on the Full Court Press Podcast. JD, play that intro, man. Hello, everyone. It is July 13th. We're your hosts, Doc J and JD, and you are listening to the Full Court Press Podcast. JD, it's been a while. How you been, man?
I've been doing pretty good. I'm excited to talk about our topics today. I've been looking forward to it all day and all week.
As have I. And I think as we dive into that, we really should start with what everyone has been talking about, every single national pundit out there, anyone who enjoys basketball. They're talking about something that we never thought would happen, the Damian Lillard trade request. So this happened not too long ago. And what I find really interesting about this is, well, there's a lot of things. And our listeners might have to put their tinfoil hats on for us, because I think there might be a little bit of bad blood that's finally starting to show with the front office and Damian Lillard. So it was not too long ago that there were official reports coming out saying that Damian Lillard was happy. He was going to stay in Portland. The Trailblazers had no plans to trade him whatsoever. The draft goes by. Obviously, they take Scoot Henderson. Look at that deep three. That man can shoot. That man can shoot. Anyways, the Trailblazers took Scoot. And then after signing Jeremy Grant to a very, very heavy contract of 5 years, $160 million, the next morning, Damian Lillard requests a trade. So I think this is interesting for a few reasons. Because one, I don't think the Trailblazers, despite what their front office said, would have signed Jeremy Grant to such a lucrative deal if they thought they weren't going to be able to keep Damian Lillard. Now, I'm very happy that Jeremy Grant is getting his bag. Good for him. I do believe personally that this contract somewhat outweighs his production. To find a guy that's going to get you 20-5, I think you could have found a guy for a lot cheaper. I think that Kyle Kuzma is a guy who's putting up very similar, if not better, stats. And Washington walked away with a pretty team-friendly deal with him. Even the Utah Jazz signing Jordan Clarkson to an $18 million per year deal. Jordan Clarkson puts up really similar numbers to Jeremy Grant. So I thought that the timing of Damian Lillard's trade request was very interesting, because why else would their front office have signed him to that Jeremy Grant to that kind of deal unless they were trying to keep Dame? And when did Dame know exactly that he wanted to get traded, that he knew that he was on his way out? I think Dame might have known quite a bit ahead of time that this was going to be the move he was going to request. And he might have been doing Jeremy Grant a solid by saying, hey, man, don't worry. I'm going to make sure you get your bag and you get paid. But I'm letting you know, keep it on the hush. I'm on my way out. Obviously, we don't know the exact conversation, if a conversation even took place. But I think it's pretty interesting to think about. And not only does Dame request that trade, he says, I want to go play in Miami. I don't want to go anywhere else. Right? Dame, yeah. What do you think about that so far?
Okay. This is a legit conspiracy theory. And I'm telling you right here, Doc, that if all we had was just like a single piece of evidence just saying, oh yeah, maybe he was planning this months ago. Maybe he was planning to do this way early on. Maybe it wouldn't have a lot of credibility, you know, only having one piece of evidence. But there are multiple things that have gone on that are extremely strange. I mean, you alluded to the fact that he waited the day after Jeremy Grant got signed. Seems like that might be bad blood to say, you know, and then he requested trade right after that. He could have requested a trade earlier, but maybe he's sticking out for Jeremy Grant. But it seems like a bad blood thing to do to Portland after all they've done for him, I think. And, you know, he's done a lot for Portland too, but there's one thing. Another thing I thought was very strange, which adds to this whole conspiracy that he knew a long time ago, was the fact that he is now saying he is only willing to play with Miami, no other team. He won't play for another team, despite there being other contenders. I mean, there are great places that he could land. You know, one of which you could argue that a great spot to land would be the Celtics. Another great spot could be the New York Knicks. The 76ers. I mean, there's even rumors before that he might go to the Lakers. You know, there's plenty of places that he could have gone when he initially said he wanted to go and play for a team where he could win. He didn't want to be on a rebuilding team. We all remember him saying that. But now he's saying only Miami, which is kind of weird. It seems almost out of character for somebody like that. You know, he's such a loyal guy to be saying stuff like that. It seems a little odd to me. Now, another thing to think about, too, with Damian Lillard and the whole Miami Heat thing, is Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, who were two solid guys on the Heat who brought them to the finals, or at least helped them make it to the finals, essentially left, you know? The Heat didn't try and get them. They just, Max Strus left to the Cavs.
Yeah, they let him walk.
Gabe Vincent, he also left to the Lakers, and they just kind of let two major guards walk. It almost seems a little odd, you know? It seems like maybe they knew they were going to be getting a guy. Maybe they knew they were going to be getting a guard for the future. That's something else weird. But what I would say is the most weird, Doc, out of all of these was the fact that Damian Lillard, on his Instagram Live, was playing Welcome to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day after, Jimmy Butler is posting on his Instagram that he was listening to Damian's song. You know how Damian is into rap and stuff like that.
Yeah, he makes his songs. Pretty good rapper. Best rapper in the NBA.
This is strange to me. And I want to talk about this real fast. I think that the fact that that happened and transpired, I mean, it was one day after. So Damian Lillard plays Welcome to Miami, and then, you know, on his Instagram, and then the day after, Jimmy Butler plays Damian's song. Seems a little sus, but when I first heard about this, I was like, whatever, you know, this is just, you know, ESPN's reporting on this, they're talking about it, it's just like, seems like they've got nothing else to talk about, they want to add to the drama. But no, I mean, there's all of these things happening. I mean, Dame screwing over the Blazers, and then saying that he'll only play with Miami despite other contenders. It almost feels like there was a deal done prior. You know, like a deal for him to go to Miami, no doubt. It would be tampering, you know, which is really strange.
I think that behind the scenes, especially knowing the relationship that Damian Lillard has with Bam Adebayo, they're boys, they're friends, they love to work out together. I know Dame has a good relationship with Jimmy Butler as well, and this is not something that is out of the ordinary during free agency. We see this stuff happen all the time. We see players working out together, training together, preparing for the next season. And it would be silly to think that players don't talk about destinations that they could potentially go to. I mean, that's exactly what happened with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant when they decided they wanted to go to the Nets. So while I definitely think that there was a lot of conversations going on behind the scenes, and wherever there is smoke, we know that there is fire. Regardless of Damian Lillard coming out and saying, oh, it's just a really good song. That's a Will Smith song from what, like the 90s? That's an interesting rap song to have on your playlist. And then Jimmy Butler with his response, the fact that the Heat front office let two guys that they really helped propel them in the playoffs to the finals, in Strus and Vincent, just kind of walk and leave. You're right. It's almost like they knew that they were going to be able to get a point guard that was going to replace the workload of those guys. So I definitely find that to be very interesting. Also, something else, too, that's just so dramatic right now. Damian Lillard's agent has been reportedly calling different teams and telling them not to trade for his client, and that if they do, he just won't report. So to me, I believe that, you know, his agent is doing his job. I understand. Dame is saying, hey, man, I want you to get me to the Heat. Make it happen, right? But to try to put up the facade that Damian Lillard is just not going to show up, I have a very hard time believing that. Damian Lillard, and like this is not a slight at other players, but Damian Lillard is not Kyrie Irving. He is not James Harden. He does not have a track record of poor character off of the floor, right? He's a professional when he's on the court. He's a professional off the court. He's given his best, some of the best 10 to 11 years of his career to Portland. I think, and we've talked about this before, I really just think it was a failure of the Portland front office in terms of trying to put around a winning team to support Damian Lillard. So he is an offensive mastermind. He's one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time. During last season, too, there was a period that started January 12th, okay, where he put up 60 points. For the stretch of the next 25 games, he almost averaged 30 points, 7 assists, and shooting 40% off of 11 three-point attempts. So this is definitely the best season he's ever had, ever. And I can understand from both sides, you know, the front office, the business perspective, where you have to do what's best for, you know, your future. And I understand the player side of it as well. Like, well, I want to go to this team. I've given you guys an incredible 11 years, and it's time for you guys to reciprocate and take care of me and pay me back for that.
Nah.
But on the same token, Damian Lillard signed an incredibly lucrative extension. Not only is like that is yet to kick in, by the way. So the last year of his deal, I believe he's going to be 36 years old, making $60 million. When you sign a contract of that magnitude, you have to understand that you might be essentially giving up your rights of what team you want to go to. Now, this is a players' league. I respect that. And it happens all the time. It happened with Anthony Davis, right? We all remember that, where he's not even wearing his shoes on the sideline. He said, I don't want to be here. I'm not happy. I want to get traded. We've seen superstars who are disgruntled get traded before. James Harden forced his way out of Houston when he just gained a bunch of weight, didn't show up to training camp. He was very vocal in public about how disgruntled he was. With that said, I just don't believe for a second that it is in Damian Lillard's character to just not show up. Like, let's just hypothetically throw this out and say, let's say the 76ers get him, okay? Daryl Morey finds a way to wave his magic wand, and all of a sudden Dame's in Portland somehow, right? I am very hard-pressed to believe that Damian Lillard would not show up to just hoop. I mean, it was what? It was last year or the year before that where Kevin Durant told the Nets, I want you guys to fire everyone or trade me. What did the Nets front office do? They stood pat. They said, nah, man. And they banked off the fact that Kevin Durant just loves playing basketball and that he's the professional at the end of the day. I think Damian Lillard, despite what, you know, the reports are saying from his agent, I think Dame would show up to Utah and play if the Utah Jazz traded for him. I think that he would show up.
I disagree.
I don't. How do you disagree with that? Damian Lillard's character has never
shown.
Because
he's come out and said it.
Did he? He didn't say that. His agent said that.
Well, his agent's doing the bidding of what he tells him.
Yes. But Damian Lillard, as we've seen him and how he puts teams on his back and his loyalty to the Trailblazers he's been the king of Portland for over a decade. I just don't think that he wouldn't show up, especially with the amount of money he would be losing. It would be asinine to decide, okay, well, I'm just not going to go there and play.
Then why is that being said?
Because his agent is trying to create leverage, and I don't blame his agent for that. He's doing his job. I totally understand that. But let's focus and zero in here on the Miami package. OK, okay? Because we know Dame does want to go to Miami, right? I don't see any way that this deal gets done where both sides are happy. I don't think that Miami under Pat Riley, and I think Pat Riley knows this too, I don't think they have enough to be able to trade for a player of Dame's caliber. Not at all. Three first round draft picks is going to be a minimum. And from what Portland has said, they want a couple young players or they want a star for star swap. Okay, well, the star for star thing isn't happening. We know that. And, you know, I think that Miami could find a way to pony up three draft picks, first rounders, maybe even a fourth, depending on if they try to flip Tyler Hero or not. And by the way, we should talk about Tyler Hero here in a second, too, because I have a lot of empathy for that dude right now. Can you imagine just for a second if you're Tyler Hero, you know, you break your hand, you don't really get to help your team the way you want to in the playoffs, and all of a sudden your name is popping up in trade rumors and the other team you're supposed to get traded to says, nah, we don't want this guy. I mean, that would sting a little bit.
Well, I think for me, Doc, I think this is just kind of furthering the narrative that maybe this was a premeditated action, because it's just like it seems like he's trying to screw over Portland with this, because there could be other teams that could offer great packages and he should just be happy with that, you know. But then, like, as you're saying, the agent is saying that, which makes me think that he's saying that. But I mean, with Tyler Hero's case, yeah, I honestly think a lot of people may want Tyler Hero. And maybe the only way that Miami will have Damian Lillard is if there's some three-way deal where somebody's willing to get Tyler Hero, give up draft capital so Portland is more happy, and then Miami can acquire him. But I mean, I want to ask you something.
Okay, like, ask away.
We've talked about this conspiracy. We've given, you know, a few things of evidence that might really be the fact that this might have been a premeditated action. What do you think the chances are this really was, like, getting down to it, like 100% meaning, you know, like this is for sure, 0% meaning no dice, what would you be at in, like, percentage wise
that this was premeditated?
Yeah, that he had been planning this months ago with the Miami Heat.
Like 90%. Definitely. I think that because there's no way to, you know, look at the conversations that are happening between Bam Adebayo, the Heat front office, Damian Lillard. I mean, all it takes is for you guys to go to one party together and it can be you, Jimmy Butler. Let's just pretend you're Dame in this situation. So you're there, Bam's there, Jimmy's there, and you guys start talking, right? And obviously you're like, hey man, I'd love to come play with you guys. And Jimmy Butler and Bam go, hey man, we'll let Pat know. We'll let Pat Riley know. We'll find a way to make it happen. There's nothing that is unprofessional about that to me. I think this definitely was premeditated. With that said, our listeners have to understand, this is just our opinion. We don't have hard evidence, but what we are looking at is every single event that has occurred since the Jeremy Grant, even before that. This happened way before that. Dame said he doesn't want to play with young guys anymore. He said that on a podcast. He said that he wants the Portland to trade the number three pick and Anthony Simons, who's possibly also disgruntled now that his name has been up in trade rumors, right?
I don't know if he ever said that, but I think that was probably alluded to, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, but still would sting knowing that. So Dame said, I want you to try to trade this pick and get me someone who can help me win now. He came out in another podcast and said, I just want a chance to win. And after so many times of being vocal and putting it out there for everyone to see, including the front office, and then for your front office to just kind of betray you in a sense and be like, well, it would be negligent for us to trade this pick. We're going to go with Scoot Henderson.
Is that really a betrayal? How is that a betrayal? They're doing what's in the best interest of their organization. If you're any organization, if you are the GM, you need to keep that pick. Scoot is the future.
He is. And
they tried. I think that they tried, but they just couldn't find a package good enough. And then they even tried to sign Jeremy Grant. They were willing to work with Dame, and Dame kind of screwed them over. That's what I think.
I don't know if Dame really screwed them over per se. I think that there's a lot of miscommunication that happens in that front office. And I think Dame, over the course of the past decade, has been trying to win in Portland, and their front office has just been negligent in putting the right pieces around him, really defensive pieces, to hide and mask his weakness.
It's not really negligence. I mean, they're trying what they can. It's not like every team can acquire the most stacked players and become a championship contender. I agree that Damian is a star, but like, could you imagine if every star player on every team, maybe in a smaller market, just gets fed up and says, hey, I want to leave to Miami. Hey, I want to go to LA. I mean, it happens, but it's just
I can't imagine that ruins, that, it does happen.
That ruins the league when people do stuff like that. He's getting paid a ton of money. He got a huge contract. He needs to accept the fact that he's not going to go wherever he wants.
See, I think that in this situation too, I don't necessarily believe that either party is wrong, which is crazy to say, but that's what I think. I think Dame is trying to do what's best for Dame, and I don't blame him. And I think the Blazers front office are trying to do what's best for them, and I don't blame them. With that said, I think it would be very classy for the Trailblazers to find a way to send him to Miami. If that's where he wants to go, try to get him there.
Why not?
Because
they're not getting a good enough package for him. It'd be like trading Donovan Mitchell last year to the New York Knicks for like two guys,
tried to do. They tried to negotiate with New York.
They tried and it failed. They couldn't get enough, so they got a better package deal with the Cavs. I'm sure they tried with Miami, but Miami's doesn't have enough, and so it can't be done.
I think the difference between the Donovan Mitchell to New York situation is New York didn't want to give up the assets that the Jazz were asking for.
Jazz were asking too much. And, you know, Portland has asked about Bam Adebayo. Miami said no. I mean, they're asking, quote-unquote, too much, you know? It seems very similar to me.
Well, there's a difference between not wanting to give up the assets you have versus just not having them in the first place. Like, let's be real here. The only people who think that the Miami trade offer is a good one is the people living in Miami. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and, like, two first-round draft picks is a garbage offer for someone like Damian Lillard. Now, if you throw in, let's see, Nikola Jovic, that guy looks like he could develop into something and is going to meet your timeline. Jaime Jaquez, I would want that guy as well. I might even take Kyle Lowry because of his expiring contract and because of how the new CBA is set up. If you give me those three players and you give me four good first rounders and a couple seconds, I think now we're cooking with gas. But that's just my opinion, because how else are you going to get this done, right? Like, Tyler Hero obviously is not going to go. The Trailblazers don't want him. And it started to look like the Miami Heat don't want him. So I feel for him. But what kind of package would you want if you were the Trailblazers front office for Damian Lillard from Miami?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Well, it seems like they're on a rebuild, so I'm taking Jaime Jaquez.
Definitely.
Probably Jovic.
Yes.
I'm taking Bam Adebayo. And I'm taking Tyler Hero.
Did you say Bam?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Savage. I love it.
Damian Lillard is a superstar. You mentioned earlier, he's had his best career. You need to be giving an all-star caliber player and some. If you're not willing to give that, then, you know, this is exactly what Portland's doing too. They said, if it takes months, it takes months. They said that, you know? I have no sympathy for Miami. I have no sympathy for Damian Lillard. I just think that Portland is getting screwed over. They've been screwed over once already by Damian by signing Jeremy Grant. They've come out and said that they're planning on doing that anyway, but let's be honest, they were not planning on giving him that much money.
Let's be real here.
So if I am the GM, there is no shot, even if he wants to go to Miami, There's no shot I'm doing it unless they're giving me a ginormous package. And here's the thing. Portland is losing leverage with this sense, too, that he's saying, oh, only play in Miami, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But they also are not losing that much leverage because they can just say, you know what? We're not trading you unless we're getting exactly what we want from Miami, you know? And I think they should be like that.
I agree. I think that Miami can put something together, though. I really do. It's going to have to be better than this Hero, Duncan, Robinson, and couple first rounders. But I think that they can legitimately throw something together within the next few months that could be a very enticing package. With that said, Pat Riley is going to have to work a lot of magic to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I've got a feeling, Doc. I've got a feeling that it's going to be a three-way trade. I think that's probably going to be the best option because I know there are some suitors for Tyler Hero. He's still a good player. He's still a star, and he's going to show it next season.
Yeah, he's a good young player. He really is. Like, he's fun to watch, too. Like, he broke his hand. That wasn't his fault. Yeah. All right, hey, let's move on. Let's talk about Summer League, my man.
Yeah. So,
guys, Summer League has been so much fun to watch. It's probably the most anticipated Summer League of the past decade, possibly even the past 20 years, because of Wemby and, you know, him coming out. Everyone was really excited. I actually saw a tweet that said the average ticket to go see a Spurs game last year was $59. The average ticket, I know, right? That's cheap. The average ticket to see Wemby in Summer League was $160, and they sold out. So it's very apparent that that kid is going to become box office, and I'm excited. But there have been a lot of other players that have really made Summer League exciting. JD, do you want to talk about a couple, and then I'll drop a couple?
Oh, for sure. I'm going to go ahead and say that of all the rookies that have played this year, and probably the most stacked draft class that we've seen in a long time, I would say Keyonte George of the Utah Jazz is an absolute Summer League standout. And I'm going to go as far as to say he has been the best rookie so far of this draft class. Yeah. And, you know, something to think about Keyonte. He had an injury in college, which is why he dropped out a little bit. But the guy is an absolute stud. I mean, he had a 33-10 game, and then the day, you know, a couple days after, he had a 26-7.
Yep, 26-7.
I'm gonna have a hot take here. I think that Keyonte George, you know, if you look at the Summer League stats, Keyonte George has been an absolute monster. You know, barring his third game where he got injured after about 9 or 10 minutes of play, if you look at the Summer League players who are just, you know, performing extremely well. And I mean, let's take a look at some of the stats, right? Just right here, the top guy, Jabari Smith, he has been, he's a second year. Number two, Keyonte George, averaging 29.5 with 8.5 assists. Number three, Orlando Robinson, top points per game, a second year, a third year guy, Lester Quinones, second year guy, Tari Eason, second year guy, Jaden Hardy, second year guy. And these guys are notable. They have had some good seasons, some of these guys. I mean, Jabari Smith was in the all rookie. Jaden Hardy has been really good. We've got Jaden Springer, also a third year guy or second year guy. But none of these guys are rookies. Benedict Mathurin, Javon Freeman Liberty, Brandon Williams, Ochai Agbaji, Hunter Hale. And then it goes to Chet Holmgren. So out of like the top 15 performers in terms of points per game, there's only one rookie, and that is Keyonte George. And I'm not taking this with a grain of salt. I'm sick of people, and yes, maybe you should a little bit. Obviously, there are guys who come out, they don't perform as expected, but they're really good in the Summer League or vice versa. We saw that with Trae Young, didn't have a very good performance in the Summer League, but is an all-star talent. But I think it shows a lot if you're able to dominate in the Summer League, and I think it transitions pretty well. I think it is more rare than not if you were a really good Summer League standout and you don't perform. I think Keyonte George, just based off of how he's done, I think he's been the best rookie and the most stacked draft class so far, and that is including Wembanyama, who's averaged, you know, 18 points, had a really good 27-point game. But Keyonte George has been playing the best out of all of them. Doesn't mean he's going to have the best career, but it means he's going to have a darn good career. What do you think, Doc?
I think that it's difficult to take stock in Summer League because Summer League is normally a jumble of guys trying to make a roster, rookies who have never played a real NBA game before. I think there is some merit to guys who just absolutely blow it out of the water. I mean, you can look back, not as a guarantee indication for greatness, but Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, all of these guys had incredible Summer League runs. I also want to bring up the fact that JD was talking about KG3's stats before he got injured. So if you guys check right now, they have him, I think, at like 21 points per game and like 7 assists. But you have to take into effect that he only played like 6 minutes of that game before he injured his right ankle. Before that, he was putting up those numbers, 29.5 assists.
And like, Doc, real fast, if you look at all-time historic Summer League, there's a guy named like Marcus Banks who's the number one. He only played one game, got like 40 points, then was shut down or injured. I don't know if he's had the greatest career, but you can look at other guys too who have just completely dominated. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was up there. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell had 28 points in his two game debut in the Vegas League. Cam Thomas, another notable guy. This is historic. Damian Lillard was up there, 26.5, 5.3 assists. Tyrese Maxey, you got Lou Williams, you got Kawhi Leonard. These guys are all insane talents. I think Cam Thomas is going to become something special. And then Keyonte George, before his injury in that game, was number 2 on all-time lists. I think it's something to really look into.
You know, I love KG3, and everyone who's been listening to this podcast knows that we have been high on Keyonte George since he was wearing number 1 for Baylor. We thought that this kid had what it took to be special. And the fact that not just him, but other guys are doing very well from this draft class proves that this was the saturated, draft class that we said it was. Wemby, even though he had a pretty bad first game, he had a great bounce back game with 27, 12, and 3. Over the course of those two games, even though the Spurs decided to shut him down, which I think is a mistake, he put up 18 points per game, 10 rebounds, and averaged 4 blocks in those two games. That is amazing. I think Wemby's going to be just fine. Mr. Leonard as well, right? Leonard Miller, a guy that we have always really liked. He's doing just fine as well. He's putting up 18 points per game. Brandon Miller looks like he's getting his feet under him. Nick Smith Jr., the only other rookie this year to average over 30 points with Keyonte George. He's putting up 16 points right now. There are a lot of guys that are going to come out and impress that are just NBA ready. Summer League has been so much fun to watch. I really want to give my flowers, though, to Jabari Smith Jr. So I know Summer League is really more for the rookies, you know, but I like the fact that a lot of second year guys have been playing as well. It's good to get the reps in, but Jabari Smith Jr. doesn't even look like the same player that he was last year. Number 3 with Houston, you always hope that when you're taking a guy that high, if he's not going to be a perennial all-star, you're at least hoping he's going to be a high caliber, you know, starter who makes the all-star team a couple times. But this kid has been on fire, averaging 35 points per game. And really the most impressive performance, in my opinion, was when he played against James Wiseman and the Pistons and just shut him down. He was talking smack. He was talking a little bit of trash. He had a 38-point game, which is insane, like 8 rebounds. I think he had 6 assists, just filling up the stat sheet and just jawing off at James Wiseman. That is why I love basketball. It's one of the reasons I enjoy Summer League. I want to see these guys get competitive. That's what makes it fun. So the fact that Jabari Smith Jr. has been coming out and playing with a chip on his shoulder, I love that. You know, he did not have a very successful rookie season. And I was worried about him because I've always liked Jabari Smith. And I was like, dang, like, I thought that this kid was going to be a lot better than he was. I started thinking maybe it's the system. Maybe it's just a fractured rookie locker room. But whatever he has done in the offseason to prepare for summer league, he looks incredible. I cannot wait to watch Jabari Smith Jr. Next year. Oh my gosh, he's going to be awesome.
He is going to be a lot of fun. And I think with these two-year guys who are coming in, their sophomore, or have multiple years, you expect a little bit more out of them than the rookies. I mean, they have a year or a little bit more of the NBA season under their belt. They're a little bit stronger. They understand how the game is played. And so, you know, somebody like Jabari, though, who's really exploding in the summer league, I think it could very well translate. I don't think he's going to be, you know, averaging 30 plus points per game, but definitely I think it not. At least shows that he can be competitive and that he can be a decent player moving forward. But I really think that, you know, of these summer league standouts, like I mentioned, you know, it is a little bit to be expected with these two-year guys, three-year guys to be performing, you know, but people like Chet Holmgren, who I think, you know, he is in his second year, but he didn't get a chance to play. I think Chet is going to be something special. I think that, you know, he is considered a rookie this year. And if he plays exceptional, he could be rookie of the year. I mean, he's my favorite for rookie of the year. He's just been dominating both in the Salt Lake City Summer League as well as the Las Vegas Summer League. I believe he's averaging around 20 points per game, playing great defense. And I think he's somebody to really watch. Somebody else that's really notable in my eyes is Scoot Henderson, who looked absolutely dominant in his performance. Unfortunately, he got injured pretty quickly, which is very unfortunate. It's very interesting to note as well that, you know, a little bit ago when Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson were playing against each other, people were maybe contemplating saying, hey, maybe we should take Scoot over Wembanyama. We know Wembanyama's a talent, but Scoot might have the longevity. You know, he's a small guy, he's a bursty athlete. He might not get or be injury prone. You take this with a grain of salt, but it's interesting to note that, you know, in those games that they played with the G League Ignite and the Metropolitans a few months back, Scoot got injured in game two, and now we're seeing in the summer league he gets injured again. So
yeah,
it almost seems like Wembanyama, you know, you assume that from Wembanyama, but you're seeing it out of the guy you didn't think you would see it out of.
It's weird because you would assume that Scoot would be the more durable player. But it's almost like he's so athletic and so explosive that like his body can't even handle it because he just has like this superhuman athleticism. And I agree, when he was on the court in like the 15 minutes he played, he put up like 15, 6, and 5. He looked incredible.
He looks like he has it.
He looked like he was unstoppable. It was insane. And Amen Thompson, actually, until he got hurt as well, he looked great as well. Both of them were just killing
Asar it. Thompson, too.
Yes. Asar is getting his legs under him.
Different game, but
All these kids are looking really good. Really good. And I want to circle back on Chet too as well. Chet just dropped a 40 piece in summer league, which is insane. And I agree with you. I think that Chet Holmgren absolutely could win rookie of the year. What I believe, and what I think we both believe, is that Wemby is not a lock. He is not a lock for rookie of the year. If he wins rookie of the year, he's going to have to earn that because there's a lot of dudes who are coming who are hungry. They're just as hungry as he is, and they want to prove that they're the best in the world and that they're going to be the best ever. Chet absolutely could win rookie of the year. So could Scoot Henderson. I think you can make an argument for Brandon Miller, depending on how his season goes. And obviously you have Wemby as well, Wembanyama. So I think going into the season, I think the popular opinion was, well, Wemby is just going to smash everyone. He's a lock for rookie of the year. you know, in 2 years, this guy is going to win 20 championships, you know, not really, but I think there was a lot of hype behind him. And rightfully so. He has an incredible body and he's able to do things we've never seen from someone his size. But there are tons of guys who are going to be gunning for that as well. Like, I don't know why people are sleeping on Chet. Like, Chet's amazing, man. He really is. To be able to put up 40 points like that as a center, like, he's a good rim protector. Chet Holmgren is the truth. Like, he is fun to watch. Scoot Henderson, Amen Thompson, Brandon Miller. You know, Anthony Black has been really steady. These guys have been fantastic. And then we got, like, KG3's in the mix, too. For all we know, when Keontae George comes back, if he's getting the minutes that he deserves, where he can actually show what he can do on the court, why can't he be in the mix? You know, until he got hurt, what you just said too is true. He was the only rookie to even be up in the top five in terms of points per game, and he was one of the assist leaders as well. Like, Keontae George absolutely is going to be something special. You know, I just hope and I pray that these guys stay healthy, because nothing is more just gut-wrenching as an NBA fan when we see these young guys just dazzling on the court and all of a sudden someone gets hurt. You know? Yeah. That's what I'm praying for.
I'm trying to look up where he scored 40 points. I'm not seeing that.
I just saw it on our Twitter. By the way, guys, go ahead and follow us at Full Court Press Podcast on Twitter.
Well, we'll have to look into that one. I think his most recent game against the Pacers, he scored 25. Maybe it was within a certain amount of games.
It might have been. I might have read that wrong. Let me just check really quick. But still, regardless of that, Chet Holmgren is still in the mix for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think we'll have a video that comes out having our predictions, and we'll go into that, and it'll be a lot of fun. But, Doc, do you have anything else you want to add?
Besides the fact that this has just been incredibly fun to watch the NBA drama unfold, and then just watching these kids in Summer League just put their best foot forward, I'm very satisfied. Very satisfied.
Awesome. Well, thanks. We'll go ahead.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for listening. This is the Full Court Press Podcast. Go ahead and like and subscribe to the video, please. It would help us out a bunch. And we just hit 239 subscribers. Guys, we keep saying it, and it's true. This channel doesn't grow without you. Thank you so much for supporting us. We love your comments. We don't care if they're good. We don't care if they're bad. We know that you're commenting because you're a passionate fan the same way we are, okay? So go ahead and comment, like, subscribe. We love you guys, and we will see you next time.